Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
Well, it's really good to be here. Just very briefly, I have a unique privilege today because as I'm preaching here, my younger son, our younger son, Dane, is preaching in Mozambique. So we're really privileged. And Tuesday, we will have been married for 30 years. So, and as most of you men know, our wives are the backbone behind us. In fact, the word for rib in the Bible is the exact same word that that's used in Solomon's temple. And it's for the beam used to support the roof. And frequently, you won't see the beams. You don't see the beams here, but without them, the roof would cave in. And so that's not only my rib, that's my beam as well. And she deserves the award. 30 years she's put up with me. But I really love France, and just very quickly, because I did spend some time here before that, 30-something years ago, when I was playing tennis. And I learned a little bit of French culture, learned a little bit of French, and I've always had a passion for France, French people. And so coming back now and having the privilege to be part of the team here at the Bridge is a dream come true. So to God be the glory. We're carrying on today with the Galatians Fruit of the Spirit series, and I just want to start out with a little recap in Galatians 5 and verse 1, where Paul says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." I know that both Todd and Joel have covered this verse, but it is such a profound verse as Paul introduces this theme in chapter 5 of the fruit of the Spirit. And the word stand firm is actually a military term. So what he's saying is you don't have to gain your ground of freedom. You don't have to fight for the fruit of the Spirit. You've already got that position, and it's there for you. Stand fast in that position and hold the ground of freedom, and don't let anybody rob you of that. I'm sure when you were kids, you played that game, King of the Castle. And when you were king, you just defended your ground. It's exactly the same for us. We've got this freedom in Christ, and we need to defend that. Paul goes on, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, obviously. I just want to go down to verse 5. He says, For through the Spirit we eagerly wait, by faith, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And so faith and grace, the fruit of the Spirit, are so closely connected, those concepts. And that's a little bit of the direction we're going to go this morning as we look at how we can defend our ground when we look at the fruit of the Spirit as we carry on. So verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So Joel did the introduction 2 weeks ago. Last week, Todd covered love, joy, and peace. And now today we're going to look at forbearance, kindness, and goodness, and then look at a little bit of a few practical steps as to how to implement that in our lives. But I heard a preacher say this one time, and it made a lot of sense. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, as if it was an orange, and then the segments of the orange are the other eight aspects of it. And that ties in with what Todd said last week when he talked about love, being patient, being kind. And we're going to look at forbearance as well today, which is, if I can put it in my words, it's patience squared. So if you want really have patience, because when Jesus spoke to the disciples, and Peter said to him, Lord, how many times must I forgive? He didn't just say twice. He said 70 times seven. And that's the level that God wants us to go with the fruit of the Spirit. Not just a little bit of patience here and there. He wants us to go to the highest level of patience, which in essence is forbearance. King James Bible talks about it as being long-suffering. So we need to be more than that. And so often when we look at our lives, there are certain people we can be patient or we can be forbearing with. There are certain people we can be kind to. There are certain people we can be good to. They're easy. Do you agree with me? Some people are very easy to love. Some people are a bit more difficult. The challenge that we have in our lives is that we often use our own strength to love the lovable, and then we want God to top up our love or our patience, our long-suffering, our forbearance, our kindness. We want Him to top up those levels so we can love the unlovable or be patient in the tough circumstances. I come from a very mixed country, mixed from people, but also very mixed and very diverse when it comes to efficiency. We've got some of the most efficient apartments. We've now got our first train that runs similar to the speed of the metro. So we're in a lot of ways, we're first world. But in a lot of ways, we're not first world. And I find we require a lot more patience in certain areas. I know it took me 2 weeks to get my phone. And that was a struggle. But now that we've got that and I've got my bank account, things seem to be falling into place. It did take a little bit of patience, a little bit of forbearance, but we made it. And so at times we look at things like this and we say, I can do that. God help me love that person. Now Todd's very easy to love. Well, I'm not married to him. So I ask Amanda about those times. But seriously, but there are certain people that you come across that you think, how am I going to be patient with that person? How am I going to forbear? How am I going to endure the tough times with that person? God's not saying, I want to add my forbearance to your forbearance. He says, I want to do it all through you. And He wants to do the same with kindness, which is gentleness. It's warmth. It's tenderness. It's not something that comes too naturally to me, even though it's the fruit of the Spirit. I've got to trust God at times to let that out, let it come out. Some of these are easier than others. Have you gathered that so far as we've gone through these? And goodness, which is benevolence. I'm just going to take one step back into what Todd said last week when he talked about love, because one of the best definitions I found of love ties in this word goodness. It was William Barclay, a great theologian, defined love as seeking nothing but the highest good for someone, unconquerable benevolence. And that in essence is the bar, the standard that God has set for us is really high up. We can't do it. Talk about that in a minute. But why would we want to? Here's the question. Why would you and I want to take this message or take this series on Galatians, on the fruit of the Spirit? Why would we want to take that and say, well, let me improve my life in forbearance. Let me become more kind. Let me become more good. What's in it for me? Well, firstly, it would be pleasing to the Father. Because God wants us to be just like Jesus. Romans 8 tells us that it's His eternal purpose for us to be conformed to the image of Christ. So firstly, we'd be more like Jesus. Secondly, there's quite a lot in it for me. Because Romans 8 tells me that if I am spiritually minded, I will experience life and peace. So the more of the fruit of the Spirit operate in my life, the more I'm actually going to reap the benefits myself. Remember, the description of fruit is there for a reason. The third reason why I would want to operate more in the fruit of the Spirit is for those around me. It's sure going to rub off on my family, the people I work with, my children. I'm going to be a better father, a better husband. But also, I'm going to be able to be a better witness of Christ. Here's how I see it. The fruit of the Spirit is something that can be eaten, partaken of by those outside. An unbeliever can't really partake of the nature of Christ until they cross the line of faith, but they can taste the fruit in your life. So when you operate in forbearance, when you operate in kindness, when you operate in goodness, there's something that radiates out of you, and that fruit is eaten, received by the people you work with, by the people you're around. And when that happens, they want to partake of the tree, the Lord Jesus. So it's really beneficial for us to operate in the fruit, to be more forbearing, to be more kind, to operate in these so it can be a benefit for other people. But how do we do this? Let's just look quickly at a couple of points. How do we bring this to pass in our lives? How are we going to make forbearance a reality? How are we going to become patience squared? How's that going to operate in your life and in my life? Well, firstly, I'm just going to touch on three things. One is we need to abide in the vine. We need to remain in constant fellowship and contact with the Lord. Secondly, we've seen in those verses earlier that the only way it's going to happen is by faith, because Paul said, and I'll just recap verse 5 of chapter 5, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. So he's building up on what this righteousness is, which is the fruit of the Spirit, but he says we eagerly await it by faith. Now here's where we're going to see that we can't do it in our own strength. We can only do it with his power, and the only way we're going to do that is by faith. And then thirdly, we're going to touch on we can't legislate fruit. Let me look at that one for a minute. Just before I arrived here, Todd was telling me that there were some vines, grapevines, that were frozen. And so they were heating and having fires underneath and trying to rescue these vineyards. Now, picture if the French had to have seen, or the government had to have seen, that those vines were destroyed and there was a massive problem with the crop of grapes. So they bring out a law to compensate for that and to say, this year, all apple trees are now to produce grapes. Now, that's absurd, because you can't bring out a law like that. Point is, we can't legislate, we can't make a law saying produce the fruit of the Spirit. Because when Paul lists the fruit, he says at the end there, against such, there is no law. So there is no law that can legislate or bring the fruit of the Spirit into your life. So say, for example, I want my wife to be more good to me. I want her to operate more in goodness towards me. Not that she doesn't. Illustration. I don't say to her, woman, you'd better be better. You'd better treat me right. Because what am I doing? I'm just legislating the fruit of the Spirit, and that's not going to work because the strength of sin or the power of sin is the law. So the moment I legislate, what's going to happen? All hell's going to break loose. So when we try and produce the fruit of the Spirit through our own ability, we produce the works of the flesh. So the way I do it is by faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So I've got to tap in to the promise of God's word through faith, so I don't legislate for her or for me, I believe for her and for me. It's believing, it's not legislating. I can't make a law, but I can believe. So how do I do that? Well, I do it through the words that I speak and what I believe in my heart. So my prayer for my wife then lines up with Ephesians 5 that tells me that I as a husband need to wash my wife with the water of the word. Some of you might have read that verse somewhere. Ephesians 5 and verse 25 through 26. Sorry, it's not up on the screen. But that verse tells me that I should wash my wife with the water of the word. In other words, I should be speaking the word over her, not telling her what to do. That's my faith to bring about the fruit of the Spirit, not just in my life, but in her life. So what I will do on a daily basis is I will pray along those lines. And I'll pray for my family. I'll pray for my wife. I'll pray like this. I'll say, Father, thank you that I have a wife who serves you. Thank you that she's a Proverbs 31 wife. Thank you that on her lips is the law of kindness. She does me good and no harm all the days of my life. So I'll pray Proverbs 31 over her. I'll pray those scriptures, but I'll also do that over my boys. I'll also do that over myself. I'll say, thank you, Father, that in the midst of these tough times, I don't have the patience to deal with the system or with things like that. I don't have that within me, but you live inside of me. You are Christ in me, the hope of glory. I've just got to let out what is inside. That's the way we produce the fruit of the Spirit, because like I said, you can't go to an apple tree and say to it, produce grapes. It's not its nature to produce grapes. It's its nature to produce apples. And when spring comes about and the blossoms are there, and then in summer it brings forth its fruit, it's a natural aspect of what's inside the apple tree. Inside of you and I, because we're children of the Most High God, inside of us is the fruit of the Spirit. It's there. We've got to allow it to come out through us. And we do that by believing and by speaking, by praying, by allowing God to. So when I come across someone unlovable, I say, God, I can't do this. But you live inside of me. You love that person. God, in this situation is way beyond me patience-wise. I can't do it. But you live inside of me. You are patience. I trust you that this patience, this long-suffering, this goodness, this kindness is going to flow out through me. And by believing it and by speaking it, that's how faith makes real in my experience the promises in the Word of God. So it's not a striving. When I need to operate in patience, I don't grit my teeth and clench my fists and say, I'm not going to be impatient, not going to be impatient. The moment I do that, all of that impatience bottles up inside of me, and the end result is the works of the flesh. But if I just let it go and say, God, I can't do this, but you live inside of me, you flow through me, you do it, and I allow him to do it. And sometimes I miss it. Can ask my wife, 30 years. But what I do when I miss it is I replay the video. I push the rewind button, and I look at the points in my life where I came short and said, okay, at that point, I trusted in my own strength. In that point, I didn't trust God. And I look back and I replay, and I replay it the way it should have panned out. That's what Paul, I believe, is saying when he says, renew your mind, so that that can come to pass in my life. Let's get the band up, and let's just maybe meditate on this for a second. And I want to pray a prayer that Paul prayed over the church in Colossae. I want to pray that over us as a church. I love to pray Paul's prayers simply because they're so good. It's the word. So if I can find something that is phenomenally powerful, then I'm going to go into that. But I want to encourage you to trust God. to be more patient, to be kinder, to operate in long suffering and goodness and the fruit of the Spirit. I want to encourage you husbands to speak the word over your wives, to read the word over them. Doesn't have to be loud. I'll sometimes do it when Leslie's lying in bed next to me. She's fast asleep, and if I'm awake, I'll simply be just speaking the word quietly over it, just speaking the word. Why? Because that's my responsibility as a husband, to by faith bring about these things. Paul says this in Colossians, and I'm going to change the word slightly as I pray it. So Lord, I continually ask you to fill the people at the bridge with the knowledge of your will through all wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives, so that we at the bridge may live a life worthy of you and we may please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in your knowledge, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to you as you have qualified us to share in the inheritance of the kingdom of light. And that's my prayer for us at the bridge, that we would all have this fruit and it would increase. We would bear fruit in every good work.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.